The fourth Sunday of Easter is typically called Good Shepherd Sunday, after the gospel that we just heard about Christ, the Good Shepherd. And it's for this reason that the church around the world celebrates World Day of Prayer for Vocations. So we know Christ is the Good Shepherd, and he exercises leadership over his flock through his nurturing love. So it's an opportunity for us to pray for more shepherds to serve our church. You know, Christ is quite clear in the gospel today what he expects of his shepherds. He asks them to love as he loves, to serve as he serves, and to sacrifice as he would one day sacrifice. But we also know that the love of the shepherd, it protects and it defends the flock, his people, because the shepherd sees the flock as his own, the ones that he loves. This contrasts, of course, with the hired man, as St. John says, who sees the wolf coming and runs away. The shepherd is different. He stays and fights and protects his flock from any evil. When I think of someone that I look up to who stayed with the flock, so to speak, I think of a man by the name of Father Emile Capon, who I learned this weekend would have celebrated his 108th birthday yesterday. Happy coincidence. He was a graduate of Kendrick Lennon Seminary here in St. Louis, maybe our most prominent alum, but he was a priest of Wichita, Kansas. He was ordained a priest in 1940, and shortly after his ordination, entered service as a military chaplain in World War II. After the war, he stayed in the military and would eventually serve in Korea, his second major conflict. He was one of the earliest chaplains that were on the ground in Korea. He was embedded with the 8th Infantry, and they had made a lot of progress going north, but as we know from history, there was an offensive from the Chinese army that gradually overran their defenses and overwhelmed the military. And he had multiple opportunities to retreat, to go back to safer ground, to save his own life. But he refused. He stayed with his men. He offered mass for them. It's a famous picture of him offering mass in the hood of his Jeep, bringing the wounded off the battlefield, ministering to them, giving them last rites for those who were in danger of death. Eventually, the unit was overrun, and he was taken prisoner along with the other men. And he was marched 87 miles to a prison camp, where at the camp he ministered to the prisoners, giving them whatever medical care he could provide in a very limited capacity, but above all, spiritually ministering to them in their time of great desolation. He did this for about 5 months or so until he became ill himself and died in the POW camp. He was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor in 2013. It's a very rare honor for anyone in the military, much less a Catholic chaplain. And his cause for canonization is ongoing. His remains were repatriated after the war, anonymously, along with a bunch of other soldiers, until they were finally identified by DNA evidence only 3 years ago, when he was finally given a proper funeral. The procession went all downtown through Wichita, took place at the arena there because there were so many people who wanted to attend, and his remains are currently in the Wichita Cathedral in one of their side altars as that local church awaits his hopeful canonization. This is a great shepherd who stayed with his flock. They were his men, not anyone else's, not someone else's responsibility. And in many ways, he laid down his life for his sheep because they were his. That same likeness and that same bond that Father Capon had with his unit, Christ has with us, brothers and sisters. He chose to go before Pilate. He willingly stayed at that pillar as he was scourged and decided to remain on the cross for us, to lay down his life for us, his often wayward flock. That is the hallmark of what it means to be a shepherd. What you are willing to do for the sake of those that you love and the ones that are entrusted to you. And this mission of being a shepherd is inherent to the vocation of the holy priesthood, brothers and sisters. Because a priest is first and foremost a beloved son through the sacrament of baptism, as we all are, beloved children of God. A priest knows who he is because he has been loved by God. He's also called to be a father to his people, to take the church as his bride, as his spouse, to be a man of sacrifice, but above all, to be a good shepherd after Christ himself. And we desperately need more men willing to say yes to the call. And I should add, we don't just need warm bodies up here at our pulpits. We need holy people, good shepherds willing to serve the church as Christ defended, protected, and loved the flock. And I know that they're out there. I know there are young men from our parish who have thought, even in the slightest degree, maybe the priesthood is for me. I know that they're out there. And if you're out there, know that the church needs you. Holy Mother Church needs you. Because without the priests, we would not have the Eucharist. Without the priests, we would not have the sacrament of reconciliation. Our parish is blessed with one man from our parish who's studying for the diocesan priesthood. I think there's two people who were associated with our youth group back in the day who were in formation for male religious life. And that's fine, but that's also not enough, brothers and sisters. We're a big parish. We can do better. I should also add, I don't know of any religious women that are in formation from our parish either. That needs to be said. We're getting another 10 to 12 retirements this year just among priests in St. Louis. And God love Deacon Lawson, but he's only a member of a class of three. So what are we going to do to build a culture of vocations here at Incarnate Word? How do we foster vocations in our parish, in our school? And more importantly, how do we foster vocations within our families? Because vocations start there. That is where they begin. They begin with parents modeling sacrificial love and, more importantly, modeling the faith to their children. And it is a tragedy that surveys show about two-thirds of Catholic families would not support their son's pursuit of the priesthood. That is an uphill battle that, for some godforsaken reason, we face within our own church around the world. So I think for parents, it's important to ask, what am I doing in my family right now to foster the future vocations of my kids? If it's priesthood or religious life, then how much do we encourage it and offer it as a real possibility? Or since, of course, the vast majority of Catholics are called to marriage, what do we even do to be an example for our kids of married life too? So maybe talk about married saints as well, like St. Gianna Mola, a wife, a mother, and a doctor who, while carrying a child in the womb, became ill with cancer and willingly said no to treatment to save the life of her unborn baby. She would eventually succumb to that disease as well. Again, whether it's marriage, priesthood, or religious life, what am I doing to prepare my family for a life of sacrificial love? Because if you think about it, the family is the first seminary. It's also the first convent, too. It's the first place where we're formed. And even if your kids aren't called to the priesthood or religious life, they are in marriage prep right now, whether they know it or not, because they see your marriage every day. Again, what are we doing to prepare our kids for their future vocations? What future priests, sisters, husbands, or wives are we forming our kids to be? Do you pray with them every night, not just for their own needs, but for their future vocation? For the people they will one day hopefully serve, or even for their future husband or wife, do you pray with them for these things? It's important that families do this. Because every saint or future saint, they don't just grow on trees. They don't just spontaneously appear. They are formed. They are nurtured. And they don't happen by accident. We have to be intentional about it, all the way from the very beginning. So let us pray, especially today, for a greater zeal from all of us, for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, and for a renewal of marriage and family life, that the culture of our parish might always foster that self-giving spirit and following after Christ the Good Shepherd. May all of us, no matter our vocation, lay down our lives for service to God and to the church.